correctional officers experience stress and trauma every day working in state prisons. But as KJZZ's Jimmy Jenkins reports, the fear of looking weak in a profession that requires great strength is preventing many officers from dealing with serious mental health issues.
A common theme emerges as Dr. Shannon Hendrickson flips through a box of plaques and commendations awarded to her husband, Jonathan.
Rookie of the Month, Supervisor of the Month, Correctional Officer of the Year, which he was particularly proud of.
The couple met working in an Indiana prison before moving to Arizona several years ago. Shannon is a psychologist who now serves as the clinical director at the Arizona Department of Juvenile Corrections. She says no matter where they worked, because he was such a skilled correctional officer, Jonathan was often called upon to deal with dangerous situations.
He had a way with inmates. He was very good at de-escalating some pretty violent or potentially violent situations.
But frequent exposure to the daily trauma of prison life took a toll.
I knew it was bad. I knew he had a lot to work through. I knew there were a lot of things he didn't tell me.
So, at her urging, Jonathan started seeing a therapist. But after 8 months, he canceled his appointments. And then, a month later, he died by suicide. Suicide is common among correctional officers. A 2018 study by the UC Berkeley's Goldman School of Public Policy revealed that 1 in 10 correctional officers in California had thought about killing themselves, and more than 7 in 10 respondents said they hadn't told anyone about their suicidal thoughts. Clinton Roberts thinks that's partly because other people simply can't relate to what correctional officers go through.
You will see things most normal people will never see in their life.
In his 15 years as a correctional officer in Arizona, he has experienced several incidents that left him with post-traumatic stress disorder. He says in one situation, he was confronted by inmates threatening to assault him.
I turn around and there were 6 inmates that got behind me that I didn't see get behind me. And I could feel my heart drop into my stomach.
Thankfully, a coworker came to his rescue. Roberts said he was physically shaking for hours afterward, but he declined to be seen by the CERT, or Critical Incident Response Team, a group of ADC employees specially trained in helping staff through traumatic or emotionally difficult events. Joe Kluwer, executive director of the Arizona Police Association, says it's common for correctional officers to downplay traumas they experience on the job because they want to keep the respect of their colleagues.
And people don't get help because there's certain fears that, am I going to be viewed as weak? Am I going to be viewed as unable to perform my job?
Kluwer says officers also fear retaliation from their supervisors.
It's things like undesirable transfers, change of working environments. We see that sometimes more than you would think you should.
You get blackballed.
Carl Torbens worked in corrections for 5 years in Arizona and 20 in New Mexico. He says he's seen firsthand what happens to a colleague who discloses a mental health problem.
You get looked at like you're the oddball. People tend to stay away or shun individuals who have a perceived weakness.
Torben says more confidentiality is needed to ensure the privacy of correctional officers who do reach out for help. Kelly Rath is an administrator with the Oregon Department of Corrections, which has been conducting studies on correctional officer mental health since 2012. She says in addition to teaching skills like mindfulness and meditation, they created spaces for correctional officers to just talk openly about their problems.
There's a lot of effort going on to change culture so that it's normative to seek help.
Shannon Hendrickson hopes her husband's death can help change the culture in Arizona. She says while many of her colleagues have supported her, the Arizona Department of Corrections refused to provide an honor guard for Jonathan's memorial because he died by suicide.
I felt like the agency turned their back on me and Jonathan in the worst moment possible.
There is one way, she says, it could still honor his service.
Acknowledge that there is a problem. That there's a problem in the industry, that there is a problem in ADC.
And she says the answer is promoting an environment where officers like Jonathan will feel safe asking for help. Jimmy Jenkins, KJZZ News, Phoenix.
And now Jimmy is with us in studio. Jimmy, how did you first learn about Jonathan Hendrickson's story?
His wife, Dr. Hendrickson, who we heard from there, reached out to us because she was just frustrated, devastated, really, about the reaction from ADC. I was thinking about Steve, what a courageous person she is listening to that, because this is the field that Dr. Hendrickson really loves and believes in. You know, she's a high-ranking person in the Department of Juvenile Corrections. She oversees 15 people that give mental health care to our the whole juvenile population. She's worked at maximum security prisons. So this is someone really steeped in the system who felt like it let her down when she really needed it.
Jim, what was the ADC reaction when Dr. Hendrickson wanted this honor guard to be at the memorial service?
Well, she really poured her heart out in a letter to the interim director at the time, Joe Profuri. She says, you know, I've heard that you might not allow the honor guard to come because suicide is not considered to be an honorable death. Profuri wrote back, but this is what he said, quote, though the ADC honor guard will not be present in furtherance of our honor, personnel from the ADC will be in attendance at Officer Hendrickson's service to celebrate his life. And so many ADC employees did attend, but the point is, Steve, that the administration would not allow the honor guard to attend. And Dr. Hendrickson thinks that this is emblematic of how the department deals with mental health as a problem in general.
Now, she is someone who's a clinical psychologist. Like, these are issues she deals with every day in the juvenile system. So for her to make the assessment of how the agency deals with mental health issues seems especially strong and powerful.
It is. She said to me, you know, if this could happen to us, this could happen to anyone out there. They both have lots of training and experiences, respected by their peers. So I think this really says something about the trauma that correctional officers go through. And every other correctional officer I've spoken with says similar things. They are dealing with incredible trauma, but they are afraid to ask for help. So I asked Dr. Hendrickson to speak directly to correctional officers out there, like her husband, who may be struggling.
I would just remind them that there are people who care, that we want to be there for you, that you are not alone. If you're working in this environment, or if you're not and you're just struggling with this, you are not a burden. I've had so many people reach out and say they didn't want to tell anybody because they didn't want to burden people with that, and that is so not the case. And after Jonathan died, I've had so many of his friends come forward and say that they wish that he had just talked to them. And I think he was afraid to, or I don't know what he was thinking, but he didn't. And I just hope that if you're feeling that way, know that it can pass. It can pass, and your support system is what's going to get you through it. So reach out.
And Jimmy, finally, you've spoken with some folks at the Oregon Department of Corrections. They've had some success in implementing some things. Anything that Arizona could apply here?
I think the thing I learned from them is that they're just trying to normalize these discussions, and they're doing so by having some of their upper-level staff discuss their own challenges openly with other staff. So I think if ADC provided for some sort of space where officers could just meet confidentially in a group setting and just blow off steam, I think it would be really beneficial. And also, Oregon is working with the community to identify a pool of outside health care providers who have experience working with correctional officers and law enforcement so that employees feel more comfortable speaking with these providers, but then also the provider knows about their background and where they're coming from.
All right. KJZZ's Jimmy Jenkins. Jimmy, thanks.
You're welcome, Steve.